Day one for new Trump chief of staff.
Kelly is tasked with bringing discipline and professionalism to the warring West Wing.
Russia to send home U.S. diplomats.
This retaliation is long, long overdue.
North Korea tests the West.
All options are on the table.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup, a brand new mission for a retired four-star general, and it's a challenging one in Donald Trump's White House. John Kelly taking over as chief of staff today, looking to restore order at a time when the president's agenda is stalled. We're live at the White House this morning with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
To cap his Marine Corps career, John Kelly served as a combatant commander, overseeing all U.S. military activities in Central and South America. Now he faces a task that's arguably just as difficult, overseeing the warring factions within the West Wing. Political analyst Greg Valliere.
Kelly's military background appeals to Donald Trump, apparently, who likes generals. And I think Kelly will really impose some badly needed discipline.
But the chains of command within this White House have never been entirely clear, and the president seems to like what the spokeswoman here called last week healthy competition among the staff. Beyond that, challenges include Kelly's lack of experience in domestic politics. His appointment leaves a vacancy atop the Department of Homeland Security, where Kelly had been serving since the inauguration. Steve?
Well, the State Department says Russia's latest action is regrettable and uncalled for. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer in Moscow says Vladimir Putin's response to new sanctions approved by Congress would slash the U.S. diplomatic corps there by 755.
We waited for quite some time for something to change for the better, he said, referring to relations with Washington. But it became clear it wouldn't be soon. The State Department won't reveal how many people it employs, but the Russians say there are 1,200 in Moscow and three other cities. Two-thirds of them will have to be cut, so the American diplomatic operation is trimmed to the same size as Russia's mission in the U.S.
Well, President Trump spoke by phone with Japan's prime minister on the heels of North Korea's missile test last Friday. CBS's Juliana Goldman is at the Pentagon.
Analysts say Friday's launch proves that North Korea could have the capability to hit U.S. mainland, including Los Angeles and possibly Chicago, New York, and near Washington, D.C. Over the weekend, President Trump tweeted he was disappointed in China's response. They do nothing for us with North Korea, just talk, adding, China could easily solve this problem.
All options are on the table.
Traveling in Eastern Europe, Vice President Pence reiterated the president's sentiment and said the U.S. was losing patience with China.
The president of the United States is leading a coalition of nations to bring pressure to bear until that time that North Korea will permanently abandon its nuclear and ballistic missile program.
In a Sunday tweet, President Trump urged Republicans in the Senate not to give up on health care. CBS's Errol Barnett says Health Secretary Tom Price went on ABC's This Week to make his case after a week that saw Obamacare repeal efforts go down in flames.
The current law right now is failing the American people.
With the implosion of Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare last week, President Trump's health secretary emphasized something still needs to be done.
Put in place a system that actually works for patients.
But Democrats want Republicans to come to the negotiating table and find ways to stabilize the existing framework. A new CBS News Nation Tracker poll found Americans prefer a bipartisan approach to fix Obamacare over a full repeal. And 62% disapprove of how the president is handling the issue.
Well, the Trump administration's travel restrictions are affecting dozens of American foster families who thought their plans were set to take in refugee children. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
Mourning the families they thought they'd have. President Trump's travel ban has halted a longstanding program that saw American couples taking in unaccompanied refugee children from all over the world. More than 100 children who were already matched to U.S. families when the ban took effect are now in limbo, living in temporary refuges while their would-be foster parents hope for a court ruling that would allow them to finally enter the U.S. Steve?
Well, tropical storm warnings have just been posted for Central Florida. Emily has become a tropical storm. It's west of Tampa Bay in the Gulf of Mexico. In weekend raids, Australian police took two men and their sons into custody in connection with an apparent terror plot.
We have succeeded in disrupting a major terrorist plot to bring down an airplane.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said the plans were advanced but did not comment on the method of attack that was planned. Now to Venezuela, where the government says more than 8 million voters turned out in an election that gives the president expanded power. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is there.
Police and protesters battled, as they have for months, in the streets of Venezuela. Demonstrators believe the election continues to hurtle the country toward dictatorship, with President Nicolas Maduro and his Socialist Party at the helm.
What do you say about this election?
Fraude constitucional, completamente.
Constitutional fraud.
Protesters like Juan Carlos Gutierrez say they were threatened with 10 years in jail if caught marching the streets.
We have a little piece of democracy, and the government is killing us at all.
By rewriting the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Voting sites sat largely empty across the country, as many Venezuelans who favor the opposition stayed away from the polls.
In Alabama, one escaped prison inmate still on the run after a dozen broke out of the Walker County Jail, 11 others recaptured. It's a bit rustic for those who stayed behind at an East Coast vacation spot where there's no power.
It won't be a quick fix restoring full power to Hatteras and Ocracoke Islands on North Carolina's Outer Banks. It could take up to 2 weeks to repair electrical cables that were cut by a construction crew. Michael Kovacs is making the best of things.
I treated it like camping. You know, you go to the beach, you hang out, you don't spend much time in the house. You figure out ways to make food with what you got.
Tourism-related businesses are taking a huge economic hit because of the power disruption and island evacuations. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Booed at the ballpark when he caught a foul ball earlier this month, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie had a run-in with a Cubs fan at Milwaukee's Miller Park yesterday. Video on Twitter shows him holding a basket of nachos and getting in the face of a fan who apparently heckled him, calling the fan a big shot. Some baseball greats have taken their places in the Hall of Fame.
Among those newly enshrined in Cooperstown, New York, Tim Raines of the old Montreal Expos.
I want to thank these guys, Jeff, Pudge, Bud, and John. Like you guys say, we're going to be forever linked.
Those fellow new Hall of Famers, players Jeff Bagwell and Pudge Rodriguez, ex-baseball commissioner Bud Selig, and Braves executive John Schuerholz. Tom Foti, CBS News.
Well, the French actress Jean Moreau has died at 89. Well, she's best known to American audiences for the 1962 movie Jules and Jim, where two men vied for her love. She won an Oscar in 1998 for Lifetime Achievement. At the weekend box office, Dunkirk fought off the Emoji Movie to finish in the top spot. The World War II film has now grossed more than $100 million. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.